Where there was hate, love now abides. And where there was confusion, peace now reigns. I'm walking with Jesus, I'm a child of the King. And it's all because I am redeemed. I'll tell of God's favor, I'll tell you of His love, I'll tell of His goodness, God's goodness to me. For He purchased my redemption with His own precious blood, and from sin I've been set free. To know that I'm redeemed tonight, and I trust you are as well. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. We'll come back with a little more singing here in a few moments. Brother Alan Young, it's great to see you in the house of the Lord with us tonight. Would you take us, Lord, in word of prayer? Church, would you stand, join the choir tonight, and let's turn to page 139, page 139, and let's sing At Calvary. Sing together now. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdens all my last now. Oh, the love that knew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty love that God did spend at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul seated. Choir, you can be seated. Again, so good to see you back in the house of the Lord this evening. And please don't forget about next Sunday. And of course, Sunday morning service, regular service on Sunday morning. But next Sunday evening at 5, we'll have our fellowship for Thanksgiving. Have a great meal. We're looking forward to that. Pastor said that the meat will be taken care of. Please bring your covered dishes, dessert, and all that kind of good stuff. We always said in times past, bring enough of your family and a few more, and we should be okay. So we look forward to a great time. Is there anything else that we need to say about next Sunday evening? We good?
I mentioned this morning, just as a reminder, the list is down here on to the side of the mic this afternoon. There, and if you have not signed up, you can do
so please remember that again. Service next Sunday evening at 5. It'll be downstairs in the fellowship hall, and look forward to a great, great meal and a great time of fellowship as we are putting our thoughts and our minds upon Thanksgiving. We have so much to be thankful for. Amen. And we thank God for his goodness and his love. And but let's go to him again in a word of prayer. Ask him to be in the service tonight. Father, we love you. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you for the beautiful day that you've given us. Lord, what a beautiful day it has been. Thank you even, Lord, for the crispness of the air. Lord, the change of the season. Lord, as the leaves begin to change and fall, Lord, we realize that this is a new season. Lord, for many, we're going through different seasons of our life, period. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with each one that is, those may be going through some sickness or things like that. God, I pray that your will and your way would be accomplished in their lives. Lord, thank you for answered prayer. And God, we thank you for just having your hand upon us. And Lord, I pray again that you just continue to be with us. Lord, pray that you be with the pastor tonight. Speak through him what we need to hear. Be with the choir as we sing. Accept our worship and our praise. Now bless the offering, both the gift and the giver. Give us a great night in your house. And we'll praise you and we'll thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
is easy when you're. Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But then things change and you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, child. You are never alone. Talk of faith when we're up on the mountain. Talk comes easy when life's at its best. Now it's down in the valley of trials and temptations. That's when faith is really put to the test.
Same God that's on the mountain is the same God in the valley. And in the Old Testament, there were, in one occasion, chariots of iron. Chariots of iron that could not be drove out of the valley. Sometimes we have those things in our life, don't we? Those things that we deem impossible. The things that we think will not change. But, Miss Shirley, it's the same God in the valley as it is on the mountain. Thank you for that song tonight. You glad you're here tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord. A lot of churches, for whatever situation they may be going through, some can, but don't have Sunday night service, and I'm just glad that we're able to here, and we're going to continue that, and so we praise the Lord for having church twice on Sunday. Tonight, we're going to be finishing up the message from this morning, and that is out of the book of 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter number 1, and 1 Peter chapter number one. This morning we started looking at a subject entitled Expectations of the Believer. And I want you to notice in verse number 13 out of 1 Peter 1, and we'll read down to verse number 16, and we will summarize this morning and finish the sermon here in just a moment. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end. For the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Again, we began looking at expectations of the believer. And let me just say, as we began to take off with the conclusion of the message tonight, that the book of 1 Peter deals with primarily how the believer can live right in a world that is so wrong. Chapters number 2 through 5, they build upon one another, laying special emphasis on our conduct and how we are to ultimately model Christ. And if we do that, everything else will align itself with that model. And so we began our message this morning and here in verse number 13, and we called your attention to the word wherefore. And we know we have to ask ourselves anytime we see that word wherefore, what is it there for? And it brings us back to what Peter had been saying up until this point. Peter had been talking about the blessings of the believer. In verse number 4, he mentions our inheritance. Verse number 5, he mentions that we are kept by the power of God. Verse number 6 through 7 talks about that God, he has a plan and God's working. And he continues that thought up until verse 13, and he says, wherefore? And so we know that in light of all of the blessings of God, there were some and are some expectations laid upon the believer from the Lord. And these expectations are for our benefit, of course, and yet for His glory. And the expectations we began to talk about this morning had to do with three things. Number one, and that's as far as we got this morning, out of verse number 13, talks about the mind of the believer. He says, in light of all of the blessings that God has bestowed upon you, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. And it had to do not only with the mind, but in verse number 14 and 15, has to do with the manner of life of the believer. Again, we're talking about expectations in light of the blessings of God. And then number 3 in verse 16, the motive of the believer. The motive of the believer. And again, we began talking about the expectations of the believer. And let me just say this, as I said this morning, that when we become a child of God, we expect some things. There's a new life that we have now. We have new desires, and we desire to be in God's Word. We desire to pray. We desire to fellowship with other believers. We desire to spread the gospel to a lost and dying world. And so those are some things that we can expect. But in return, there are some things after the new birth that God expects. And the mind of the believer. There's a certain way we are to deal with our mind. And this morning began talking about the mind. And we said that the mind is a battlefield. Can I get an amen right there? The mind is a battlefield. And our minds are a filter. We're not going to re-preach this first point, but I do want to just touch it and go. Our minds are a filter. And everything that we allow to go through our minds and the things that we keep, they will resonate and be resident within our hearts. And so if we allow God's word and God's goodness to take residence in our minds, there will be heartfelt actions taking place. Christ-likeness will flow. But if we allow worldliness and the things of this world to take up residence in our minds, and we take those things and receive those things and allow them to stay there, then we will have self-centeredness in our hearts. Carnality will flow. That's one reason I believe that John says in John 3:30, he must increase and I must decrease. The truth of the matter is tonight is that Satan desires to get to us through our minds. He wants your mind. He wants your mind space. He can't take you to hell if you're saved, but he wants to torment you. The devil tonight wastes no arrows. Every single thought of doubt, every single thought of fear, every single thought of dread and discouragement and depression is an arrow from the wicked one trying to get a place in your mind so he can get down in your heart. Again, the devil can't possess us. The devil can't take us to hell. But he can, if he gets a foothold, the devil can run our lives if we let him. And so Satan works in our thought life if we give him room. Thoughts become actions, and actions become behavior. And so this morning we went through all of that. We talked about the words gird up, and we know those words gird up here. In verse 13, it means to muster up one's resources. It means to prepare ourselves for action. Each of us that wake up and go to work and go to school, we muster up our resources, don't we? We prepare ourselves for action. You wouldn't dare go to a meeting or have a speaking engagement without any kind of preparations. You see, everything in your life that doesn't have anything to do with what you have to do, you allow to fall to the side by girding up the loins of your mind. And we know that the Orientals, they would wear robes, and these robes were loose, flowing robes. And sometimes they would have to hurry along or run to get to a certain place. And when they do that, they would bind their garments up in their belts. They would bind them up in their girdle, their belt, their waist belt. And that way, they can run. So many times in life, we are living our lives, our Christian lives, with a loose mind. We're not girding up the loins of our mind. We allow things to come through our minds, and we allow some things that shouldn't be there stay there, and then they permeate inside the heart, and then you have behavior. This morning I mentioned that. Have you ever talked to anybody and looked at them in the eyes and said, you know what, I talked to so-and-so today, and they just weren't their self. They used to be loving and gracious and kind, but now they're just so different. They're just an angry person. Have you ever been able to tell a difference on the negative in someone's life just by how they look, looking through their eyes into the windows of their soul and their actions? You see, a lot of people tonight are out of church. A lot of people tonight are living life any old way because it all started in their thought life. They've allowed things to stay in their thought life. And again, those thoughts became actions, and actions became behavior. So let us guard our minds tonight. Let us gird up the loins of our minds. And he says again, he says, be sober, which means not only be sober from alcohol and drugs, of course, but be sober. Do not be inebriated with the cares of this life. Don't be intoxicated with worry. Don't be intoxicated with fear. Fear and worry and these emotions, if we allow them to, can inebriate us. Cause us to walk different, and cause us to even talk different if we allow fear and worry to permeate within our minds and our hearts. And so it tells us to gird up the loins of our mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We'll move on from our first point. You can look at the rest of that verse when you get home. But these expectations, that first expectation has to do with the mind of the believer. But then, number two tonight, the second expectation, and that has to do with the manner of life of the believer. Notice, if you would, in verse number 14. He says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Notice what he says. He says, as obedient children, in light of my redemption for you, my inheritance for you, Peter is saying about the Lord, in light of you being kept by the power of God, there's some expectations on your behalf. And number two tonight has everything to do with being an obedient child. The Lord tonight desires obedience from His children. Listen to this. We all must recognize who is to be in authority and who is to be in submission to authority. I want to say that again. Tonight, let us all recognize who is to be in authority and who is to be in submission to authority. The Bible says, as obedient children, the children of God are to be in submission to the one who's in authority. God's children in submission to God, God being the authority. And this is very, very vital in life. Let us not get that out of sync. It's God, the one who's in authority, and we are the ones who are to be obedient to His authority. I want to go a step further. Children are to be submissive to parents, the child being the one to be in submission, and the parent to be the one in authority. This is also vital. If this is missed, if there's ever an out of balance situation, let me say, in the home of any family, where the parent is not the authoritative figure and the child thinks they're the authoritative figure and it's out of sync and out of balance, there will be issues. Like manner when it comes to God in our life, I think a lot of times we get it out of sync. I think a lot of times we come to the Lord and say, Lord, would you bless what I'm going to do? Lord, would you just put your blessing on what I plan to do? And when we do that, we are out of sync. We are out of the proper place we're supposed to be in. He is the authoritative figure. We are the ones in submission to Him. And so it goes without saying that There are many in jail tonight when it comes to, I'm referring back to the home now, there are many that are in jail tonight because they have problems with authority. Am I not right about it? The jails are filled with people who just do not know how to submit to authority. And I want to say that it all starts in every home, in every life, in every marriage where there's children. The children are to be obedient to the parents, but the parents are to be obedient to God. And so what happens when everything is running the way it should be? And those in authority should be in authority. And they are. And those that are in submission are in submission to the rightful person. What happens? Well, when mom and dad are subject to God, and the kids are subject to mom and dad, the result is a happy home and a bright future. A happy home and a bright future. I know just because you go to church and live for the Lord, that's not saying that you'll never have any family problems in life or your children will never leave and rebel. But the odds are so much better when we bring our kids up in the fear, in the admonition of the Lord. When the kids are taught to obey their elders, and the elders obey God, we are setting ourselves up for goodness. We're setting ourselves up for a happy home and a bright future. So what about us as believers? Our manner of life. He says, as obedient children. He says, don't get it out of context. We, Peter says, we are to be in submission to the one in authority. When was the last time that you've asked the Lord, Lord, do you want me to do this? When was the last time that you asked the Lord, Lord, is this the direction you want me to go in? Or was that just a path you chose? Because it is your life, you know. You only live one life, you know. I think we need to keep things in context, in the rightful position. And I think that one of the things that is expected as a believer is that we are to obey the Lord as obedient children, he says here. Now, obey God because he is the authority, not the other way around. We don't tell God what we're going to do. We ask God what he wants us to do. Churches are receiving less and less people because there are people who's not following the Lord, him being their authority. They're doing what they want to do. They're choosing what they would like to do and not like to do. Now, notice something else in verse number 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. The words here, not fashioning yourselves, or the word fashioning, this thought, this idea, this phrase, it means not conforming. Not conforming to the same pattern. You know, as believers, we're not to conform to the pattern of this world. We're not to become alike to this world. We're not to conform. We're not to fashion ourselves. And so not conforming to the same pattern. Tonight, there should be a clear distinction. Clear distinction. From your old life to your new life. Friend, do you proclaim that you know Jesus as your Savior? Those watching on Facebook, do you proclaim that you know Jesus as your Savior? But are you still doing those same old things you've always done? He tells us to not fashion ourselves according to the former lust in our ignorance. Back then, we didn't know no better. Guess what? Now we know better. We know better now. Someone proclaims Jesus as their Savior. There should be a clear distinction from the old life to the new life. As obedient children, not fashioning yourself, not conforming to the same pattern. And so we see that there. And then he drops down in verse number 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. All manner of conduct. Manner of life. Let there be Christ-likeness in your life. There ought to be this distinction. People should be able to see the Jesus in us, is what I'm getting at. And so there's this expectancy here. Not only when it comes to the mind of the believer, but the manner of life of the believer. Let us tonight, church, be in submission to our God. He's the one that's an authority. And so there's another thing I want to mention. Not only the manner of life of the believer, but lastly, the motive of the believer. In verse number 16, he says this, Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. I can remember, don't know if Christy remember this or not, but I can remember when we, I don't know, may have been the dating stage, may have been the early stages of marriage, I don't know. But we were in Sunday school at Floyd Road, and we were all asked to remember recite a verse of Scripture. And the very next Sunday, we had to say it as a couple. You remember that? And together in harmony, we said, 1 Peter 1:16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. I remember that. It ain't got nothing to do with the message. But just when I was studying this, I looked at that. I said, I remember that. How about that? We took the easy way out, didn't we? a lot in that verse, but we took the easy way out. But in that verse, we do see a motive. He says, because it is written, be ye holy. Why? For I am holy. Jesus is the motive for our wanting to be holy. He's holy, so we want to be holy. When we accepted him at the new birth, he came in through the Holy Spirit, and we want to be holy. Jesus is our motive of wanting to be holy because he is holy. Now, Christ is our motive to be holy. And he's our motive for all that we do and all that we should do, all that we should be. He is our motive to be and to do. Christ is. Again, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Peter is talking about there's a motive here. Jesus is holy, so be holy. I don't want to be holy because if I had a grandpa that was a Christian, holy. I don't want to be holy tonight because there are church people who are holy. I don't want to be holy tonight because of preachers I admire to be holy. I want to be holy tonight because Jesus is holy. And Jesus is living in me. So he's my motive. Is he your motive tonight? Is Jesus the reason why you do what you do? Does he get you up in the morning? Does he give you energy and longevity through the day? Is Jesus your motive? We should have Christ as our motivator in all that we do. Let us tonight love like Jesus loves. Boy, that's a tall order, isn't it? That's a tall order. Loving like Jesus loves, that is unconditional love. And when we love unconditionally, there's some factors that weigh in. We have to be long-suffering with one another. We have to forbear one another. It's hard sometimes. In fact, it's impossible to love others from a natural standpoint. We have to love from a supernatural standpoint. It has to be an agape love, an unconditional love, the love like Jesus. We need to love like Jesus loves, give like Jesus gives, have mercy like Jesus has mercy, forgive like Jesus forgives, live like Jesus lives, be patient like Jesus is patient, be holy like Jesus is holy. Are some of you falling apart during the week and can't go on? You feel like it might be because you've waned some in knowing who your motivator is. Or you may have, I may have at times started leaning on the arm of the flesh, allowing other things to motivate me. Jesus is the inexhaustible motivator. He's our motivator and inspirator. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy endured the cross, goes on and it says, and he endured the shame and all of those things. What is he talking about? The writer of Hebrews is talking about looking unto him. Let him be your motivator and inspirator tonight. We see the motive of the believer. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Again, the lesson today in two parts. It had everything to do, it has everything to do with some expectations the Lord has from us. And tonight, it has to do with the mind. How is your thought life tonight? From the youngest to the oldest, what are you letting in? It has everything to do with our manner of life. The things that are in the mind will create actions if we let them, and actions will become behavior. And then our motivator, what's motivating you? We may need to hook up to the right motivator so we can move on. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for who you are, Lord, for what you do. Lord, I pray that something may have been said that may have been a help to someone tonight. If anything else this evening, Lord, help us to just work on our thought life. Keep things, Lord, pure and holy there. You being our motivator to do so. And Father, I pray that you'd give us all strength and energy to approach this new week, Lord, with passion and desire to serve you and just be a blessing to others and to just man our responsibilities. We love you tonight for all things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. And if you'd like to come and pray, this will be the time to do so.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior.
We have some coming. Maybe there's someone else that needs to come. This is your invitation, Facebook as well. Continuing to sing while we have these here. Still time if you need to come. We still have some praying this evening, but I do want to just mention a couple of announcements while these are praying. The help that's needed, don't forget, All That Can, November 26, 27, 28. This is for the tree lot, December 3, 4, and 5. And things are going up, aren't they, Brother Brian?
Yes, sir.
All right. That's awesome. That's awesome. We're excited over that. And looking forward to that. And so remember that for the tree lot. Again, Brother Allen mentioned the Thanksgiving Fellowship is next Sunday. In my mind, I'm thinking we're still two Sundays away. But remember that. And also, Brother Jamie Dickerson preaching on the 28th at 5 p.m. He'll be with us. And so we're looking forward to having Brother Jamie here. And be a good night. All right. All hearts clear before we go. It's been a good day today. All right. If that's all, I'm going to ask Brother Brian if he would close us out in a word of prayer.